Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And tonight we're going to be talking how we can express our love while socially distancing during the pandemic. So hopefully there'll be callers besides the caller that suggested the topic last week, but if not, we'll have a great show irregardless. And there's another caller. And I will just come to the callers in a little while to see who they are and if they'd like to participate in the discussion tonight. And there's another caller. Great. Well, Kat, I have a lot of thoughts on the subject. And for the callers that just tuned in, if you don't know, we're going to talk about how we can express our love while socially distancing during the health crisis. So, Kat, I'm going to come to you first and see what your thoughts are. And let's just dialogue for a while, and then we'll go to the callers, because we do have three so far.
Okay, wonderful. So we started talking about this last night.
Yes, we did.
And it really is a follow-on from our show last week. And the thing is that clean up your own backyard first. Everything has to happen within you before it can be expressed outside of you. That's the way I see it. So if we're going to be loving each other, we need to really love on ourselves too.
Mm.
And this opportunity to be at home, even though many people may still be working while they're at home, they're still at home. You crawl out of bed, go to the loo, make a cuppa and a piece of toast, and then waltz over to your computer and start. You don't have to worry about the shower and getting dressed up and the commute anymore. Right now, you just have to get out of bed and get on your computer. And so it's an opportunity for you to take moments of silence. If there is an opportunity during your day to not have input, then I would encourage people to sit and just be. So if you have a yard, if you have a backyard or a front porch or somewhere where there's some outside interaction, sit and look at nature and just stare. Just sit and stare and zone out. That's actually a loving act, because that gives the brain a chance to calm down, because it moves so fast and it works so hard. It's not going to stop working, but it's going to allow you to go into different mind states that then will help you think with more clarity when you are working. Important that we do that, but also, you know, shower daily and do all the personal grooming and hygiene things that you can do without going to a hairdresser or a beautician. And remember to eat well. I think we can all slip into eating packets of crisps and ice cream and cakes and all that good snacky stuff and end up putting on two dress sizes pretty quickly. So. my family and I went through a block of chocolate recently. I'm no angel there, but we really do need to think about how we love on our bodies, and then in that space, we are more able to give love to other people. Don't you think?
Well, yes, but I don't want to give up all my comfort food. I must admit I'm going to some of that. But I hear what you're saying, and we do need to eat healthy. And, of course, there's a challenge with doing that at the stores because not everything that we normally would get is available. And it's unfortunate that a lot of people are just feeling the need to hoard things because they're afraid. And I think one of the things that we can do is, as you said, to meditate in nature or in other fashions so that we don't have to experience all the anxiety. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity once we get into that wonderful center of ourselves to reach out to others. As I said last week, I think this is a wonderful opportunity to become united, to show compassion and love, which is what we're talking about tonight. And one of the challenges is socially distancing to the extent where one has to self-quarantine, as I've had to do recently. Now I'm not able to see people other than my husband. And that's a little bit challenging because I really enjoyed, even with the social distancing, the 6 or more feet that we practiced, I enjoyed having people over to the house. But that's not to say I can't go for a walk outside with them. And I'm glad that I have provisions in the house because I don't want to be in the grocery store because of a secondary exposure that I've had. But I do feel very calm within myself. I'm not worried. And I know that I'm going to be okay. So I turn it back to you, Kat, to share whatever other thoughts and wisdom you have on the subject.
I'd like to share a quote that I found by a great spiritual teacher many of the listeners may have heard of. And you may have heard of him too, Thich Nhat Hanh. The amount of happiness that you have depends on the amount of freedom you have in your heart. And it is true. You need to have a sense of freedom within before you can really spread that love outside of yourself. And I think it's beautiful that you enjoy entertaining and you enjoy having people over, and that shows that you have a sense of freedom within your heart. But we can still have that freedom. We don't need to lose that sense of inner happiness because we're having to distance ourselves from people. You know, the good old-fashioned telephone call might just come back.
Yeah, it might.
Yeah.
It is for me.
Yeah.
Phone calls and Facebook, you know, where I can reach out to people by video and see them, and it's almost as good as being in person. I find, and I don't know how you feel about this, the written word can sometimes be misinterpreted. Telephone conversations are great, but 90% or more of our communication takes place through body language. So video is a wonderful opportunity for people who can do that. And for people who feel safe with the social distancing and can still get together with other people while keeping their distance, that, I think, is the best mode of expression. The only thing that's lacking are the hugs.
Yeah, and in the spiritual community, as in many other people's walks of life, any creative, intuitive type people tend to hug each other a lot. We're very heart-based people, and I think hug starvation might be something. There'll be a lot of people hugging their cats and dogs and pet lizards more, as well as probably squeezing their children a bit more than they usually would because they're just getting hugs from everyone and now they're not getting the hugs. So you can also hug yourself. Another thing you can do, I mean, that's just wrapping your arms around yourself. It is sort of nice, but I found growing up I was never hugged enough. mm-hmm. for what for my needs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I was hugged, but I wasn't hugged enough for my needs. And I literally developed a physical pain from not having enough hugs. And I found that pressing on my sternum gave me some relief from not being hugged. And so that may be something that you can do. And then you need to find something you can hug. So appropriately, I must put that word in there for people who think they can want it. You can't hug people who don't want to be hugged, and at the moment you can't really hug anyone. But if you can get a soft toy or a kind animal, or just hug your kids a couple times more a day, hug your partner, in the eye, if you can do that. I know it's not culturally appropriate for some people, but if you can connect by looking in the eyes, it makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
In the way that you work together, because you're looking at each other deeply.
Mm.
You're loving each other. But that pressing heart to heart, it's so incredibly important.
Well, one thing that you can do if you are on quarantine, and I may have already mentioned this, I apologize if I'm being redundant, but Kat talked earlier about being in nature. That's certainly something that you can do with somebody else and remain safe. You probably are going to want to maintain a little bit of distance, but I liked what you said about the eyes. The eyes are the mirror of the soul. And that's something that we can exchange with another person if we're able to be with them personally or via video. Now, for a lot of people, there's some fear connected to looking at each other in the eyes. And I think there's a lot of fear connected to this pandemic that we're experiencing. And I encourage people to raise themselves up and recognize that the only thing, as Franklin Roosevelt said, is the only thing to fear is fear itself. This is an opportunity to get beyond fear and to rediscover love. And it does start from within, as Kat was saying. And so this is a great time for introspection, for going within through meditation or whatever means you feel comfortable with, and connecting with yourself, being at peace with yourself, and bringing that peace into your interactions with others.
Yeah, and that's the key, isn't it? Is how do you do that? Because, you know, it's a couple of weeks since a lot of people lost their jobs, a week, 2 weeks. A lot of people are now at home counting their pennies, not knowing how they're going to get through, waiting for their application with welfare to come through. A lot of people are wondering how they're going to pay their loans, their rent or mortgage. Suddenly they had money to keep buoyant and now they don't. How do you remain peaceful, David, when you've got that kind of pressure?
Well, fortunately, I have a fixed income coming in and I don't rely on work. But I do think this is a golden opportunity to do something if you have the means. We're here to help one another in this life, to serve one another. And if you have the means to help somebody that you love or even somebody that you barely know, I encourage people to give of themselves of their generous income if they're able to do that. I did that with my hairdresser because I know she's going to have no income coming in and she has three little ones, and so I gave her $100 without any strings attached. So that's something that some people might consider doing.
Yeah. I think if you can, and the other ways that you can show kindness to each other is, you know, just to smile and say hello. If you get outside and look up and down your street and see if anybody else is also doing the same, and wave and say hello. You might make new friends that you, and wonderful new friends that you never ever realized were just living in the same street as you. And if you can't afford to assist somebody with money, you could always do some baking and leave something for them on their doorstep. Leave a little note, like, for example, if you've always admired somebody's garden, you could leave a note for them to say how much you appreciate all their hard work to enjoy, but they, a part of them will be wanting others to enjoy it too because of the beauty of it. So let them know. Let people know. You can wave and smile to other people on the road. This is something I started actively practicing when I first got my license. And I would always wave when someone let me into a lane, always smile. If you just happen to connect with a person walking down the street as you're driving slowly, for example, some children were running across the road the other day and I slowed down so that I wouldn't hit them. I knew that I had plenty of space, but I still slowed down anyway. And their father had just come home and he was getting his gear out of the back of his car and he saw me and we looked at each other and smiled. And he was smiling at me in thanks and I was smiling at him in understanding. It's really important that we connect to other human beings and that we remember our humanity right now. So, you know, things like that are really, really important. And remembering to show kindness to yourself, you know, reaching out to others is good, but also showing kindness to yourself is also very good. So make sure that you take the time now, if there's a project that you've been wanting to do, that now's the time to do that project. It could be cleaning up. It could be folding and putting away that pile of clothing that's been sitting there you've been rummaging through for a month. It could be cleaning down the walls and just doing a deep clean in your house, or going through your clothing and finding out what you want to keep and what you want to donate, and then looking around and finding somebody to give it to, thinking about the people that you have in your life instead of just putting it into a donation bin, knowing that nobody's going to be able to go to those shops and buy them right now. Yeah, that's just some ideas about showing love and kindness. But we as a humanity, we need to stand together and rise above any fear, because we live, the reality of it, David, is that we live with viruses and bacteria all the time. Viruses and bacteria are here. They've always been here and they always will be here. We can't let the fear of one virus destroy our way of life. We just have to accept that this one virus will have its day, and then it will fall back into some kind of place of equilibrium with the other viruses, and it's just potluck if you get it or not, just as it is with a regular flu or a cold or salmonella or E. coli or, you know, a massive host of other viruses that are out there and bacteria that are out there. We can't be germaphobes. We have to, at some point, once this is all sorted out, we've got to just get on with our lives. things that are really important to appreciate are medical history. And in medical history, we see how we overcame polio, for example. I remember people when I was a kid who, adults, who had funny humped backs and one skinny leg that always had ulcers on it and other ailments that were a result of having polio. But now, I'm in my 40s, I don't see anyone. Anyone. I don't know about you, but I don't see anyone around that has any kind of polio-related problem in my age group or below. And that's because of that vaccination. I know they're developing a vaccination for this COVID-19, and I also know that there's a lot of controversy around this vaccination. There's a lot of accusations towards world people on the world stage, very dominant people on the world stage, and there's a lot of fear around that. I'm not going to buy into that and to discuss it here, but I just want to touch on that because that is also something that is causing fear for people.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be forced into a mass vaccination? Is this mass vaccination going to have a microchip in it? Is this now the implementation of the New World Order? That is something that people are really, really, really concerned about. And they're very concerned that this whole thing has been a biowarfare manufactured. And there is a lot of suspicious activity around it. It does have a sinister edge to it. So I'm not an expert on it. And you can find people who are on the internet. But I want to say that being informed is important. Being in fear helps no one. So get educated, be informed. If what is being offered to you is going to end up being true, which there is a possibility it could be, there's also a possibility that it will fizz out and it won't be. If it is, then form action groups and stand up for your rights. But don't let fear be the driving force. You'll forget who you are. You'll totally forget who you are. What do you think, David?
Well, I've heard it said that love is the opposite of fear, and that's what we're primarily focusing on tonight. You've inspired me in so many different ways, and one of the things I've been wanting to do, and I'm going to take the opportunity to do that, is gather together clothing I don't need anymore. And there's quite a bit of it that I've accumulated over the years, even though I've given away 2/3 of my clothes. I have more than I need. And that's what we can do, is we can share with each other. I liked what you said about the incidence of polio. I've seen no young people with that, but I do remember back in the day a lot of people that were affected by that. And so there's hope. I think that that's one of the things that we can cling to, and that's an act of self-love and something that we can inspire in other people, which is another form of love. And hope is a stepping stone to faith. And faith is a stepping stone to knowing. And I believe that it is important to embrace the idea and the knowing that all is well. I mean, you talked about strangers and showing love and appreciation to them. I like to do that on a regular basis. I like to smile at people. It usually elicits a smile in return. But we ultimately are all one. We're one people, one spirit, one, or perhaps many universes. And, you know, there's so much that's not known. But the possibilities are endless, and love, once it's extended, ripples out. It's like throwing a stone into the lake. The ripples spread out, and I believe that true of love as well. I would like to go to the caller that suggested this topic, and I'm also going to ask any other callers on the line tonight whether or not you choose to participate in the discussion. I would like to come to you and at least find out your first name and if you have any thoughts. Furthermore, I would be interested in any topics for future shows that people would like to discuss. I think we'll take a break from talking about COVID-19 for the time being, but if there is a remaining concern down the line, I believe, Kat, you would be willing to entertain another show on that subject. But let's take a break from that for a while. So if anybody has a suggestion, please think about it. We would appreciate your topics. I'm going to go to Regina and ask her if she has anything to share on this and what inspired her to bring up the topic. Regina, you're live.
I'm live. I sure am. Thank you much, David.
All right.
Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. What inspired me to bring this up? Well, I think last week I started experiencing these Zoom meetings online with people from all over the globe sharing love with one another in that way. And it was making me feel a lot more connected and less distanced from people. And again today, I was on a Zoom meeting with my teacher, Pierre Zia Khan, from Richmond, Virginia, with 603 people all around the globe. And we were all talking again about our ego, which often gets in the way of love, our false ego. And, the development of our ego and the levels as you are going down the spiritual path. And he had a wonderful teacher who had survived World War II with our Sufis over in Holland. And that they had to start distancing themselves. When they heard the Nazis were coming, the Sufis had to shut down because they were against the system and they were being threatened and they had to be cut off from one another. And this gentleman spoke of the way they survived that time of being distanced from each other. A lot of what I'm doing right now is in the morning I have my prayers and my meditations, and I'm doing a healing service with the globe and sending out love in that way. And part of it is I visit every house on my block here, and I'm sending them all love and seeing them as perfect and whole and sufficient unto themselves, and everybody well, and all of the little animals, the squirrels, the birds, the foxes, everything is being well, and the rivers and the oceans and the trade winds and everything is being well and whole. And to me, this is I'm speaking about it, makes me feel so full of love and hope and healing, you know. And if I can keep my mind in that realm, and I seem to be more and more just not looking at things that upset me, a picture of a certain political person, you know who I mean. I just don't even look. I just don't even go there. And I think that's part of as Kat said, loving myself. And I'm learning more and more to love myself, be gentle to myself, don't beat myself up. So the dishes aren't done. They're not going anywhere. They're going to wait for me, you know. What's the rush? Am I going to get a demerit from Sister Mary Elephant? No, I don't think so. I think, you know, it'll wait and it'll get done. And, you know, as long as I, you know, take care of myself the best I can, you know, eat good, drink some good tea. So I have a piece of chocolate cake. It's okay. Just one, you know, not the whole cake, just a piece. And, you know, reading poetry, that really, really feels like it gets me in that loving space, especially people like Rumi and the works of Thomas Merton and all kinds of good people. And you had mentioned looking people in the eye. Now, I found out today that one of my great spiritual teachers passed last Thursday. His name was Oscar Ocasio, and he was the founder of Eureka Institute. And he brought quinoa to America from Eureka, Chile. He came up to teach consciousness raising, and I took his 40-day training in Lindenville, Vermont in 1974, and his advanced training in New York City in 75. And part of the meditations were looking other people in their left eye, because he would tell you the left eye is the window straight into the soul. And we would do this meditation called Trespasso. And you'd put your hand on your partner's jugular vein, eventually in this meditation, and you would repeat the words, "You love me," while looking in their eyes. And I can't tell you the windows of consciousness that got opened doing this. And in that summer of 75, I would walk down the streets of New York City looking into everybody's left eye. It was a very interesting experience of just, you know, connecting with people. Some people didn't want to be connected with, and that's okay. You know, you don't force it. You just see if anybody's awake in there and, you know, offer a gentle hello to them. One more thing I wanted to do is share a little poem I had written, because we had discussed The Course in Miracles and Gerald Jampowski's book, Love is Letting Go of Fear. And I wrote this poem quite a long time ago. I got to put the glasses back on. So I can read it, but I love this little poem. It's called The Answer. Everything I perceive begins with me. Whether I choose to listen to the infinite wisdom and see a glistening newborn world of beauty, or cling to my wretched ego and behold misery, the higher self will guide me peacefully to find only love and unity, while the false self will find suffering, attack, and no peace of mind. Through quiet reflection on forgiveness and love, we will be gently open to the grace from above. Each trial presents us with a choice so simple and clear, to choose only love or to cling to old fears. Listen in silence to the wisdom constantly unfolding from on high, and your thirst will be quenched from the well that never runs dry. Amen.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Amen.
Yeah. You know, that's like almost like the Course in Miracles in a nutshell. Just letting go of the fear, letting go of the fear. You know, but you know, as Kat said, yes, do be informed. You know, I'm reading a lot of different scenarios, and there was one that I posted on my Facebook page yesterday about from this gentleman, Einstein, I believe his name was, and it really paints a picture of, oh, there could be some trouble here. And we are the people who create the future. You know, we are the people who choose. And I think by choosing love, choosing connection, if we're waving from our cars and we're smiling at our neighbors and I'm out raking and saying hello, choosing love, I think is our way to build a future when we are able to connect again. I can't wait till that day comes. But we've got to deal with what we've got to deal with now. This too shall pass. And we have to learn how to enjoy ourselves more and more. You know, I think we're going to be a lot richer people as we get come out on the other side. Thank you for letting me ramble with you.
Regina, you didn't ramble. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
And you know, one of the things that you said about being informed, that's an act of self-love. I just wanted to comment on that. And I don't know if this applies to you, because I believe it does, but do you see yourself as a light worker?
Oh, yes. I signed up this morning for
a
light worker group, because I am a Reiki healer, and we're going to be doing healing energy work on Tuesdays and Thursday for the people at the Albany Damien Center. We can't go in there, but my two teachers and I are going to be sending the Reiki healing at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays right now. And I have my little teddy bear with me. His name is Ricky Reiki, and I do hug him a lot. But
perfect.
I'm sending out the love. And also in the morning when I'm doing my healing ritual, that's with the Sufi Healing Order, which I've been a member of for many years. And,
I'm going to thank you, Regina. Thank you so much for offering this topic and for offering your words of wisdom and healing. And I would like to go to the other callers, but before I do that, would you briefly share what being a light worker means to you?
Well, you know, it's the same Francis prayer. Lord, let me be an instrument of thy peace. You know, I'm just a channel, and letting the light and the love of the universe, of the one being of light and love, flow through me to others. You know, so if it's just picking up a phone and saying hello to a friend, that love's coming through me. It's flowing.
Right.
You know, and
right.
My job is to keep that channel open, and fear constricts that channel, and so I can't afford to have it constricted. I have to stay open to the flow of the life force energy coming through, because that's all.
Wonderful.
We're all connected. We're all one with the one, and you know, you are me and I am you, and we are one together. That's how it goes.
Thank you so much. And, Kat, I wanted to come to you for a moment, because you offered an invocation today that comes from another. Would you be willing to identify that person and offer the invocation to the light, and then we'll go to the other callers?
Oh, okay. I don't know it off by heart.
Oh, well, I've got it right here. Should I read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's from Loving Rose. She's on AskLoving.com.
Well, it's beautiful.
And I don't know if she wrote it herself, but it's on her website.
Well, Kat shared it with me this morning. I'm so grateful, and I passed it on without attributing credit to Loving Rose. So, Loving Rose, please forgive me. And Kat, my apologies to you for not identifying her. But here is the invocation to light. And I thought it was appropriate, and that's why I asked Regina what a light worker is, because there are more and more people identifying as such, and it really has to do with love, which is what we're talking about tonight. I love with the light. I laugh with the light. I am sustained and nourished by the light. I joyously serve the light, for I am the light. I am the light. I am the light. So let's go to the other callers and see who they are and if they have anything they would like to share. I'm pleased to see my dad is in the studio tonight. He hasn't listened to one of the shows before. His name is Ralph, and I'm opening your mic, Dad. Hello there.
Hello there, David.
Anything you want to say on the subject of love?
Well, I've enjoyed the program very much, and I might just mention a couple things. I have a niece. Her name is Peggy, and she has this plan that she has where she saves all of her Christmas cards, and every week she draws a Christmas card out of these Christmas cards that she received the past year, and that week that she draws the card, she prays for that person, and this is my week, so Peggy is praying for me. So that's
all right.
That's kind of special. And then the other thing I would say is that I have the habit every Sunday morning of getting up about 6:30, and at 7 o'clock on our public television channel, I listen to the Salt Lake City choir and orchestra, and you get the most beautiful music for half an hour, and you get about maybe a 5-minute sermon, which is really hits the nail on the head. And I think that's just a great way to start the week, start a Sunday, is to listen to that program. I'd recommend it to anybody.
Thanks, Dad. And, you know, I think you hit on a really good point, and that is music. Music
yeah.
is something that we can use to soothe ourselves with, to love ourselves with, and raise our level of vibration or our spirits, don't you think?
Definitely.
Well, Dad, thank you for calling in. Any final words of wisdom to say about how
we can
love while
we're... I can say one other
thing.
This isolation period has given me a little extra time. I've been trying to write up the history of my family that I grew up with. My mother and dad had 5 children in 5 years, and it turned out to be a single boy and then 2 sets of twins. And so I'm trying to gather up stories about all the things that happened to our family so they can be passed on to the next generation.
Nice.
Thank
Very
you for
nice.
Doing that, Dad.
I guess that's it for me.
Well, that's perfect. Thank you. And that's an act of love to your family.
Right.
I think it's an act of love to yourself because you're remembering the love, aren't you?
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for joining us. I'm going to leave everybody's mic open since there's so few of us, but let's go to the other number, which is 385, and see who's there. Hi, you're live. What is your first name, please? If you're just listening, that's okay. Do you want to share your name, or do you feel, or do you want to just listen? It doesn't matter either way. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. If you're muted, sorry if I missed you, but thank you so much for tuning in tonight. That's an act of love. And love sometimes is silent, so thank you. Kat, anything else that you'd like to say before we go to meditation?
I thought maybe I'd go to one of my favorite spiritual teachers of the 20th century and see what he has to say on acts of kindness, because really that's what we need to be doing, acts of kindness towards ourselves and towards others. And, of course, it's Khalil Gibran who wrote The Prophet. If you haven't heard of him, I encourage you to go out and, well, look him up. You can't go out to the library now. But look him up and see if you can get a hold of The Prophet. It's a beautiful book. And Khalil Gibran says, "You give a little of you give but a little when you give of your possessions. Is when you give of yourself that you truly give. And truth is a deep kindness that teaches us to be content in our everyday life and share with the people the same happiness. So it's important to give of yourself and to be honest. The smallest acts of kindness are worth more than the greatest intention." And remember that quote that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. So actually doing the acts of kindness are far greater than having an intention to be kind and doing nothing. Tenderness and kindness are not signs of weakness and despair, but manifestations of strength and resolution. I think that as a whole, humanity has begun to recognize this more and more. I know when I was younger, being seen to be, you know, have emotions, to show tenderness, vulnerability, and kindness seen as less than, that you weren't showing the resolute stoic strength of a man who was cut off from himself, so therefore you were weak. However, as humanity has grown, you know, technology has grown really fast, and along with it has been a quickening of humanity's understanding of ourselves. And as we have gone into that, we've become more in alignment with our own humanity and less in alignment with our inhumanity. And I think that that's really important to remember. There are more and more and more of us who want to be connected and loving towards each other. And there are less and less of us who are disconnected and not loving. And as we said, in our previous multiple discussions, the two main lessons in life are walking towards love or walking away from love. And sometimes walking towards love can be much harder than walking away from love. But it's really, really important that you take the time to walk towards. And so I would encourage you to think about it. One thing that you can do is think about someone you really don't like and really unpack why. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who did something horrific. So if there's someone you don't like because they shot your friend or they raped your mother or they ruined your life, don't go there, because that's just going to cause trauma, re-traumatizing yourself. We don't want to do that. So let's not think about that person. But let's think about someone who grates on you. Maybe there's a coworker who never really cuts the mustard for you. Maybe they smell a bit, or they're socially awkward, or they're often late, or there's something going on there that really annoys you. Instead of focusing on that, focus on what it is about yourself that you can see in that other person, good or bad. Change your perspective. Now, you might not see this other person again, because your work is banded. Or you might see them online because you're still working together remotely. This might be somebody in an organization that's not to do with work or in a family group or whoever. But what I would like you to do is just to sit and consider all aspects of them that you know of, because you don't know them completely, and think about what you know about them that is similar to you and what you know about them that is not. The things that annoy you, then can put them to one side just for the moment, because we tend to dwell on that a lot. And so we've got these two things, the things that are similar, the things that are not similar to you. So they may be a parent like you, or you're not a parent and they're not a parent. They may be not similar. They may be a different from a different culture than you. They may eat differently to you. They may wear culturally appropriate clothes for their home nation, and you wear culturally appropriate clothes for your home nation, and the similarities and differences, they just are what they are. They're not hurting anybody. So then you can see them as a human being. Because I think what we do often is we remove the humanity out of somebody that we dislike. Then you can go back to the thing that you don't like. And you can ask yourself, why do they do that? When I've done acting training on and off throughout my life, and one of the things that they always teach you is that the lines in the script are where that character is now, but there's a whole backstory to that character, and often the author, the scriptwriter, has given you some of that backstory. But as a good actor like Meryl Streep will have gone and written multiple pages of her own backstory based on what the script or screenwriter has given her, and really fleshed out that character for herself. So then she knows why the character says the words that they're saying, and that is a natural thing for that character to say because of the backstory, because of who they are. So why is this person so damned annoying? Because of the backstory, whatever's going on in that background. When we unpack that as much as we know and we don't fabricate, we can lessen the impact of the annoyance, and we can begin to start to give them love. Now, it could be just a habit that they have, so they pick their nose. And the backstory might be that actually they've got an allergy that makes their nose very uncomfortable. So then you can forgive them. Okay, well, you're disgusting. Now, like, that habit is disgusting, but you as a person are not disgusting. And I understand you're very allergic to dust mites, and dust mites are everywhere. So we start to bring humanity back into it. We've got the time and space to do this now. And then you can let that little bit go. And if you can do that with all the people that annoy you, and then let it be, you'll begin to calm down, because we're all hyped. We don't realize we're hyped, but we are. We're hyped with all the stress of the everyday life, of being in a work environment, of having to pay bills, of making sure we go and get enough food, making sure we have the clothes clean, making sure. And now we get to be at home and have a rest. We can unpack, find that you're more relaxed towards them, and you won't really care if they pick their nose or not, because really it's them doing it to themselves. And you can look at it and go, yeah, that is a disgusting habit, but I don't care. I never wanted to shake their hand before, and I'm not going to do it now, so what does it matter? So you recognize and you let go. We've got to do this with so many of the little things that annoy us, so that we can really focus on making a positive change in the world. And from there, we can really grow as human beings, because we've come out of our collective infancy into tumultuous teens. And, you know, now we can step off into young adulthood as a collective human, sentient, sovereign being race. And we can let the powers that be control us and run around being fearful and unable to think for ourselves and backed into a corner and made to do whatever they want us to do. Or we can stop, sit, be still, think for ourselves, listen to our inner being and be guided by love and come together unified in a very peaceful, self-controlled manner that allows us to grow collectively and to ascend into our adult human state, which is a collective consciousness state that we all really need to be in now.
Oh, thank you, Kat. That's perfect.
I think I got that out of my head.
Yes, you did. Well, what you said draws to mind just a couple of things that I'm going to say, and I'm going to be brief. One is when you were talking about the judgment and taking a look at yourself, I've heard it said that when you point a finger at one person, there are three fingers pointing back at you. So take that into meditation. One bad apple doesn't spoil the whole bunch, because we are all one, and we need to have compassion for those of us that are different and to not judge one another, because you don't know the backstory. And it's an act of love to show compassion to those that seem damaged, to those that we don't like. And I've heard it said that the most important persons to pray for are our enemies. And I had one other thought, but it left me. So let's move into meditation. We're going to go just a little bit over. And this is going to largely be a silent meditation. And you'll see why. I'd like you to close your eyes if you're comfortable, or to focus on a spot in the room that brings you comfort. And I'd like you to take three deep cleansing breaths. And as you breathe in, I am love and light. And as you breathe out, you are love and light. And so do that three times to the count of seven. And now I'd like you to draw into your mind's eye and into your heart someone that you cherish, whether they're present in this life or have moved on to another. Draw in the love from that person and return it. And meditate on this in your heart for a moment. Now draw on another for whom you have cherished, be it a moment here or there, or a lifetime. because some people are with us for a lifetime, some for a season, some for a reason, which we may or may not fathom in this life. So do that if it pleases you. And now, think of some stranger you may have encountered today or this week. Someone who you do not know and cherish, child of God of the universe. See if you can recall that person. Somebody that you may never see again. And do this for however long you need to. And say to them, I give you love. I honor you. And now perhaps this will be the most challenging exercise for you. Think of someone who has bothered you for whatever reason. If it's hate, strong emotion, let it go and draw that person toward you and simply say, I am love. You are love. I offer you love. Let's embrace the love and agree to disagree, for we are one. One more. This time, go to yourself. Go to whatever part of yourself. If it's an unhealed child within you, be it an infant, a young child, a teenager, a young adult, go to any of those times where you still have not healed that person within you. It could even be today. And from your current perspective, say, I cherish you. You are well, and I will protect you and love you until the end of time. And so, as you continue to breathe normally, just know that all is well with you, with others, and with the universe. And so, when you're ready, open your eyes if they aren't already, and give thanks for this day, for this is the only day that you truly have this moment, and cherish it, love it, nurture it, remember it, and don't let go of the love, for love is eternal. And so open your eyes if you haven't already done so. And I invite you later, if it pleases you, to go to the mirror and look at yourself in the eyes and say to yourself, or out loud, I am love. I love you. And so thank you for joining us tonight. whether you've joined us live or on the podcast. Remember that we're here every week, Sunday night, Eastern Time, Eastern U.S. Time, Monday morning, 10 a.m. Aussie Time. And with that said, good night and God bless.